Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1212B. The Bs are always great guests, and we have a very unusual one for you today. Something I would never have expected, but we've got them for you, and we'll come back to that in a second. We are brought to you, as usual, by Life's First Naturals, the makers of both TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as the Dye Rescue, which has gotten some great blog tributes, if you will. And I call them tributes because they're people who had great problems when they increased their weight loss drugs, their GLP-1s, getting severe nausea or vomiting or diarrhea, and by using Dye Rescue, have found that they don't have those problems. Started 3 days before the increased dose for another 3 days after. For those 7 days, seems to ablate the problem of increased dosage of the GLP-1s. That's LifesFirstNaturals.com, and go and see their double-blind randomized controlled trials on TruBiotics and on Bovine Colostrum for preventing, and especially Bovine Colostrum may have some value here. If you over-exercise, that's one of the ways of preventing the bloating and complications from that. And of course, the Longevity Playbook. Go to longevityplaybook.com and sign up for the free newsletter with 250 words with a great cartoon and some action steps. Today, we're reviewing with Cash Lambert, the author of this book, as well as Waves of Healing, Surf Therapy, the evidence-based science for physical, mental, and emotional well-being by, if you will, surfing. And while my granddaughter loves body surfing, going out in the waves as a 8-year-old, this is about it for everyone. And I'm going to start at a weird point, Cash. How did you get the name Cash?
Oh, that's an absolutely great question, Mike. My parents loved the name. It was something unique. It was a name that I thought was different, unique, and it stood out. So that's good enough for me.
It is a great name. And of course, Waves of Healing really broke grounds in illustrating or illuminating the concept of surfing as a therapy for autism and PTSD. Now, I'm going to start at the end, since at least 60% of us don't live with easy access to surfing type waves. And those of us who do somehow don't like the coldness of the water in some places where we do. I guess you were in Hawaii, where it's perfect, both temperature and waves at times. But there are wave parks, right? Are there any wave parks in the middle of the country?
Correct. So for surf therapy, obviously you need a surfboard and you need the ocean and you need waves. Obviously in middle America, you're certainly not going to have that. So one of the amazing things about surf therapy currently is that there is a, we call it the wave pool arms race. So where all these wave pools are suddenly, thanks to technology and reduced cost, are popping up in places you would never expect inland. And so there are a handful of surf parks inland currently. There's a few in Dallas, a few in California, certainly also Florida, and with more on the way. So as the wave pool sector within the surf industry grows, we're going to be able to see more and more people who can unlock this ability to access a surfboard and access waves, even though they don't live near or by the coast.
So I like the comment. I refer to wave pools as health and wellness centers that you have as a quote from, I guess it's from Chris, and I am going to mispronounce his last name, Primaccio, who's the CEO of International Surf Therapy Organization. So there actually is an organization that is based on surf therapy, something those of us who live in Cleveland probably never heard of, although there are, I suppose, waves in Lake Erie that are big enough to surf on, although the water is cold enough most of the year to not surf at all. And you'd have to do under ice surfing for part of the winter.
That's exactly what was so surprising for me too. Just like you're saying, I had no idea there was an international organization that was serving as the meeting point for all these surf therapy organizations. So I wrote my first book, Waves of Healing, How Surfing Changes the Lives of Children with Autism. When I wrote that and it came out in 2019 through Hatherley Press and Penguin Random House, I thought my surf therapy journey was over. I'd written a book. I was thrilled about it. And I got a phone call from Chris Promasio. And she said, "Hey, Cash, I just want to let you know you've written the first book about surf therapy. And I want you to come speak at one of the first surf therapy events in Los Angeles in a few months." So I went to that event and I spoke about how I'd personally seen surfing be therapeutic for children with autism, as I'd written about in the book Waves of Healing. And so as I spoke, I went there to speak, right? I didn't go there expecting to listen, which is a really important point, Mike. Also at that conference, there were organizations who were taking veterans with PTSD surfing. There were organizations taking children from townships in South Africa surfing for therapeutic benefits. There were organizations taking women who were healing from trauma surfing. So there are police officers. I mean, all these groups of people who were in need were going surfing with all these different organizations. And I said, someone needs to tell this story. And that's exactly why I wrote Waves of Healing, was I came across a surf therapy organization taking children with autism surfing, having life-changing results. And so when I experienced that in 2010, I said, someone should write a book about this. And that was my first book, Waves of Healing. Now, fast forward 9 years, I'm at this conference in LA. I'm hearing about how surfing is therapeutic for all these other populations. And I said, someone's got to write a book about this. So that was the sequel that you're talking about, surf therapy. And the book looks at more than a dozen different organizations and how they're using surfing to benefit their specific population, whether it's people in New Zealand, South Africa, here in the US, England, all around the world. The book is about 50% testimonials for how it's therapeutic, and it's also 50% data. That's where the big thing with surf therapy is, that for this to be continue to grow as a legitimized form of therapy, because think about it, Mike, getting someone, regardless of what they may be struggling with, getting them on a surfboard in the ocean, or maybe even in one of the Great Lakes, or even in, like you said, a wave pool, that can be terrifying, right? So you need to have structure. You need to have volunteers who know exactly what they're doing. And so we need to have data to prove all this efficacy, so that, at least here in the US, the big push from the surf therapy sector currently is for surf therapy to be a treatment that can be billed to health insurances, right? It can be similar to like a physical therapy or a chiropractor, maybe even acupuncture. It can be covered with health insurance. So all that to say, you got to have data that'll prove its efficacy. And that's exactly what surf therapy is 50% of, is proving, hey, here's all the data, here's all the studies to date to show just how therapeutic it is. So did I know in 2010, when I went to a surf therapy organization for volunteer hours for the college I was attending, I was in journalism school here in South Florida, I just went to this organization's event day to get volunteer hours. And I witnessed life-changing events. And I said, someone has to write about this, get the message out. That led to one book, led to a second book. And here I am talking about surf therapy, something I would have never imagined. But probably for a lot of your readers, surf therapy is probably something they never imagined could be powerful as well.
Cash, let me go and come to the book, Waves of Healing, and start there. When a family with autism, usually they have restricted resources, if you will. They usually don't have easy access to surfboards, waves, and good weather, if you will. How do they get involved in this? In other words, let's say someone does live in near a coast, someplace in New Jersey or someplace in Virginia. Where do they go to find out where the nearest, quote, therapy program is for this? And how much would they expect to pay initially? Are there classes that are introductory that are inexpensive? How does this work?
The easy answer to that one, Mike, first of all, is if you check out my book, Surf Therapy, in the back of the book, I have an appendix. In that appendix, I have a list of over 100 surf therapy organizations around the world and also here in the U.S. that are guaranteed to be near you?
It actually is a surf therapy resource guide, we should say. And there are a number of both what I would call free programs, such as the Jimmy Miller Memorial Foundation, as well as some that would charge. There's also, I mean, a great one for autism, Surfers for Autism. That was the one in Florida. I think that's the one you first visited. Is that right?
Correct. So Surfers for Autism was my first surf therapy experience. Again, I was just a volunteer. I helped multiple children surf. And to say you experience life-changing experiences is rare. I hear people talk about, oh, this was incredible or great, but to say it was life-changing, that's a powerful statement. And on the beach, I witnessed children who hadn't spoken many words saying some of their first words to their parents. Their parents are crying. I'm witnessing volunteers saying, this has changed my life. I'm going to change my college major. I'm going to study occupational therapy. I'm going to get involved. And the parents are telling me for the first time, kind of like you were just alluding to, Mike, with limited resources, the parents were telling me, there's no one who knows what I'm going through except for every single person on this beach knows exactly what I'm going through. And I'm witnessing all of this and I'm saying, this is incredible. So I went through about 4 years spending time with multiple families and their child as they served for autism and was able to track their progress. But to answer your question, Mike, about the cost, I can't speak for every surf therapy organization, but a great deal of them for many of the people who will be participating, right? So in this case, a child or a participant with autism, it is a free experience. I can't say all organizations, but the majority of organizations have some introductory training, right? So it may be a class before the event, or maybe the event's on a Saturday, maybe a class on a Friday, or maybe beach instruction there on the beach that morning at, say, 8 a.m. Either way, the participants are certainly not just put on a board and push out to sea.
Now, Cash, for those of us who were afraid of surfing on a surfboard or uncoordinated enough not to be able to do it, such as myself, we did body surfing. Is that part of this or is body surfing really very different?
I would say if you're scared of the ocean and surfing, then surf therapy is perfect for you because in no other situation or experience can you have extremely trained volunteers, instructors, and lifeguards teaching you how to surf. Many surf organizations employ professional surfers, surfers who have surfed 60-foot waves before, Mike. It's these guys in many situations who are teaching your child or the participant how to surf. The safety in the majority of these organizations is unparalleled. It's extremely safe. And best of all, you have a cheering section, whether it's family members or friends or parents or other volunteers cheering as you ride to shore. So I would say the majority of people who experience surf therapy, Mike, are exactly like you just said. They're scared. They're terrified. But they get on the surfboard. They're with people who know what they're doing. They're trained. It's a safe experience. They catch one wave and it completely changes for them. And to answer your second question, with body surfing, with most of these organizations, while they do want to help you surf, teach you how to surf, they want to do therapy on your terms. This is not something that is forced. Surf therapy is not a forced experience. If you want to show up and you want to build sandcastles all day, the volunteers will sit next to you and help you build sandcastles. If you want to body surf, they will body surf alongside you and make sure it's a safe experience. That's one of the great things about surf therapy. It's not a forced treatment. It's not a hyper-specific thing. It's whatever you want to do, whatever your comfort level is, the participants, the instructors, they will do that with you. And that's what makes surf therapy so unique and also so effective.
Now, is there a website for the book? I normally ask this in advance and give it, and I forgot to ask it in advance. We're talking to Cash Lambert, L-A-M-B-E-R-T. He's the author of Waves of Healing, How Surfing Changes the Lives of Children with Autism. This book is Surf Therapy, the Evidence-Based Science for Physical, Mental, and Emotional Well-Being. Last name, again, is L-A-M-B-E-R-T. Cash, is there a website for the book?
The best place is just my author website. That's just my name, right? Cash, C-A-S-H, Lambert, L-A-M-B-E-R-T.com. Otherwise, the book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Costco, Walmart, wherever you do books, the book will be there. If it's not in the store, you can order it.
You have some wonderful stories in here. Some of the therapies of use for women's healing from trauma, for drug addiction, for PTSD, for police officers, etc. And I know you've got a favorite, so I'm going to not ask you your favorite, but tell me one of the stories, for example, on drug addiction, because we have a real problem with drug addiction in Ohio. So I know there's some good stories about drug addiction.
I wish you had a ton of time on this podcast because I could talk for probably the next 4 hours just on this topic. But as far as the book is concerned, there was a young man in New Zealand. He was twice incarcerated. And he, after being incarcerated the second time and then being paroled, he had been stealing. He was involved in gangs. He was ready to commit suicide. And he had previously, in between his two stints, when he was incarcerated, and he was also addicted to meth. He had been a constant and consistent meth user. In between his two prison stints, he surfed with a surf therapy organization and was able to experience how therapeutic surfing was. And at that surf therapy organization, he found an amazing community. He was able to get into rehabilitation and he was able to earn a surfboard. It sounds like a small thing, but this young man had never earned anything like this in his life. So he obviously went back to prison for the second time, and then he was paroled, and he went back to meth, and he had one specific instance where he was using meth, and then he came down off of a meth high, and he was at the lowest point he'd ever been. Obviously, you can imagine his dopamine levels were completely shot, right? Dopamine levels had significantly decreased, and he was on his couch. He was ready to end his life. And before he did, he looked up, and he saw a surfboard in the corner. And he said, you know what? The last time I surfed, I had an amazing experience. The people were great. You know, maybe I'll do that one more time. He got the organization on the phone. They came to him and they saved his life. The sad part is that this story is not an outlier. There's been many other people within this organization who it wasn't a successful experience like that. But all that to say, we can't say surfing is the perfect therapy for, as far as drug addiction, we can't give it a 100% success rate. But he was able to replace the dopamine hits he was getting by taking meth with a natural dopamine hit that he was getting by surfing. Scientists have studied the brain. So it's also in the book. It's fascinating. Very similar experiences when you're on drugs and when you're surfing, when you look at what's happening with the neurons in your brain, the dopamine is being activated. The difference with surfing is that it's a healthy experience and that the dopamine is the receptors move the dopamine off of your neurons so you don't go into a hyper arousal experience to where you're depleted afterwards, if that makes sense. So with surfing, it can be a form of drug addiction, drug abuse therapy, because it provides that same natural high, that same dopamine experience you can get when you do drugs, but do so in a natural and completely safe way. And the best part of all was that with these organizations, there's a community aspect with it to where you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Other people in that organization are also experiencing, and some of the volunteers have experienced for themselves. And the last part about this story that's so incredible, Jared, the young man who was nearly lost to suicide, is now one of the master instructors at this organization in New Zealand called Live for More. And now he is helping others who have drug addiction. He's helping them get clean. Just an incredible story.
Yeah. The reason I really brought up this story is exactly what you said. One of my friends, John Sunt, his brother died of a drug overdose. And John actually is a master surfer in San Diego and has devoted his life now. He sold his business and is devoting his life to helping kids overcome or prevent drug addiction. So surf therapy is a great start and probably is why John has kept both sober and an enthusiastic surfer his whole life, and his brother didn't, unfortunately. Cash Lambert is the author. It's CashLambert.com, CashLambert.com, the authors of Waves of Healing Using Surfing as a Therapy for Autism is what Waves of Healing is about. and surf therapy, the evidence-based science for physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Thanks so much, Cash, for being on the show. I should mention our sponsors again, LiceFirstNaturals.com. LiceFirstNaturals.com, the makers of bovine colostrum and TruBiotics, as well as DyeRescue and LongevityPlaybook.com, where you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Thanks very much, Cash, and thank you for taking the time to be with us and to do this and expand my and all of our listeners, I'm sure, knowledge about surfing. Thank you. And by the way, I understand it's an Olympic sport now. I think I saw it on the Olympics. Is that right?
It is currently an Olympic sport. First seen in 2020 and obviously now in 2024. And we're looking forward to the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles. And hopefully there can be a big surf therapy component for that.
Thank you again. But especially thank you, our listeners. You're the reason we do this. Tell your friends about us. Thanks very much. And by the way, I do have a blog on Substack, but even better is that short 250-word summary with a cartoon at longevityplaybook.com. Thanks again.